But while they are heading out, I want us just to, I'd like for you to join with me in singing the doxology, just to be our prayer and to focus our minds this morning as we go into the Word of God. So let's sing that together. And if you know the harmony to the song, sing it out loud. Sing it boldly. So let's sing this together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Amen, church. I love that song. It's a simple song, but it reminds me of who God is, and it reminds me to worship Him. And we need reminding, don't we, church, to worship our great God. We need reminding, because sometimes we need to be reminded that we are the ones put on this earth to worship Him. Luke chapter 19 says, Jesus is coming in and He's riding in on a donkey, and it's the triumphal entry. He's entering Jerusalem before He is crucified, and His disciples are going before Him, and the crowd is throwing palm branches down before Him, and they're crying out, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. And the Pharisees see this, and they hear this, and they tell Jesus, rebuke your disciples. They shouldn't be saying this. And Jesus says, I tell you that even if these were silent, the what, church? The rocks would cry out. We are worshipers, church. We were created by God to worship Him. We were made in His image to proclaim His glory from our lips. And if we don't fulfill our role, then the rocks will cry out in our place. And I don't know about you, church, but I don't want that to happen. That's why I sing so loudly on Sunday mornings. And I hope that that each week you will join me in making sure that the rocks stay silent. We heard just a minute ago from Bezad. There are Christians all around the world who have to meet in secret, who cannot lift up their voices. They do not have the freedom to worship loudly. And yet we do. And so we should. But that leads us to a question that we're going to look at this morning, and that is, why do we sing? Why do we sing, church? Yes, we are worshipers. We were made to worship, but why singing? Couldn't we just worship Him in another way? Now, don't get me wrong, keep it in mind that singing is not the only way that we worship God, but as a church and as Christians, we do spend a lot of time together singing. So why do we sing? I'm often asked that question. Why do we sing? And it's a valid question, because oftentimes we do things just because we've always done it and we don't know why. That doesn't mean we should. But the question then still is, why do we sing? I believe that we sing for two reasons. And I think these reasons go in harmony together. And that is, we sing the truth of God for each other and to the Lord. We sing the truth of God for each other and to the Lord. Let me say it a different way. We sing the truths of God for the benefit of the church, and we sing the truths of God to give God glory, honor, and praise. And I would say out of those two reasons, we really don't struggle with that second one. We mostly understand that, right? We don't really feel like we have to be convinced that singing brings glory, honor, and praise to God. We pretty much understand that part. But the first reason might need some explanation, right? Because it can initially sound like we are saying that we worship the church members. Or it can sound like we are practicing something that gives us glory and makes us the central focus. But that's not what we're saying. Keep it in mind, we sing the truths of God for the benefit of the church, and we sing the truth of God to give honor and glory and praise to God alone. So today we're going to look through that. We're going to unpack that. We sing the truth of God for each other and to the Lord, and the truth of God is where we start. So this morning we're going to read the truth of God, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there with me. It will be on the screen, but we are going to read this as our main text this morning. I'll give you just a second. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Father in heaven, your word is truth. We can believe it. We can trust it. We can build our lives upon it. Holy Spirit, this morning, open the eyes of our hearts to understand it today. And we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that first reason, we sing the truth of God for each other, for the benefit of the church. We sing the truth of God because it is the only thing worth singing to each other. We sing the truth of God for the benefit of each other, for the church, because it is the only thing worth singing to each other. Everything else is fleeting. There's nothing else worth singing to each other. We do not sing our emotions because we can't trust that our emotions will be the same tomorrow as they are today at this very moment. Our emotions are influenced by our situations and our relationships, and it's the way that our body and soul responds to what we are experiencing. No, we do not sing our emotions, we sing the truth of God, and what that does is it grounds our emotions, and it gives us focus to express our emotions. It makes sense of our emotions. We do not sing our experiences or our situations because our experiences and situations can be shaped by all manner of things. If we sing only about our experience, then we have no common ground. If we sing only about our experience, it points us back to ourselves. And we know that we are not what we should be singing about. No, we sing the truth of God because that is the foundation by which you and I share one common experience. Your story of redemption shares the same origin as mine. Amen? We do not sing based off of musical preference. Ooh. We do not sing based off of musical preference because our musical styles and our preferences are vast. And quite honestly, they're self-centered. That's the point. It is a preference. Our preferences, our musical preferences, they're based off of each man's own desire, each man's own opinions. And you know what? Our opinions change. The music that I liked when I was 16, I do not like now that I am 36, and I have a feeling that my preferences are going to be different when I am 56 or 86. No, that changes. Churches is the gospel that changes us and unites us. Amen? Not a style of music, not an emotional or dynamic song. And so we sing the truth of God to each other because we can sing the truth of God and we can find that in many different genres and styles of music all throughout history. And so, all the while we continue to sing. So we sing the truth of God for each other because our singing teaches the truth of God. Now that seems like a no-brainer, but it is worth mentioning. We sing the truth of God because it teaches the truth of God to each other. If we are singing the words of Scripture, if we are singing the doctrines of our faith, if we're singing the promises to the church, and we're singing the story of redemption, then our singing becomes teaching. What does Colossians say? It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Not everyone is going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everyone is going to be a life group leader. Not everyone is going to preach. But as you stand in the midst of our congregation and as you lift up your voice to sing, you are teaching and admonishing one another, just as you did this morning. You collectively taught each other and admonished each other that there is no one like our God. And you know what? You urged each other, let us join in with the song as all creation declares the glory of our God. And you taught each other Scripture this morning. Did you realize that? You taught Psalm 103 to each other this morning when you sang, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. He heals your disease. He forgives your iniquity. He crowns you with love and compassion. He rescued your life from the pit. Our God is full of mercy and grace. Our God is slow in his anger. He is abounding in love. And as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Oh, bless the Lord." Your singing this morning taught and admonished this to our congregation. And this is why, just to be a little personal with you, so you can see behind the curtain a bit, this is why we take so seriously picking the songs that we sing together on Sunday mornings. I really take that very seriously as I'm picking out the songs we're going to sing. And I try to be as careful as possible and as selective as possible. And oftentimes, I'll have people come up to me, and you might have done this as well, and have a suggestion of a song that we should sing on Sunday morning together. And I love that. And I appreciate when you come and do that, and I want you to continue to do that. And I'm grateful, and I look forward to hearing the songs that are ministering to you in your own personal walk with Christ. But every single suggestion, we take very careful consideration as to what is this song going to teach us as a congregation? And if we sing this together, will it benefit the church while we are together? And we have to ask this because, honestly, not all songs are beneficial for the congregation. They're not. They're just not. That's because some songs were written to be performed on a radio in 3.5 minutes and to be catchy and edgy and clever. Not all songs were written for congregational use. And it can be confusing in what we teach because not all songs have strong theology, or the theology of the song is not very clear, or perhaps the whole point of the song is very inwardly focused. Look at me, look at me. And so we take it very seriously. Because what we sing together, we are teaching the truth of God to each other. We sing the truth of God for each other because our singing encourages and edifies each other. It encourages and edifies the church. As we do life together, right? Life is better together. We've been saying that over the last year. As we do life together, I can sing the promises of God with you, knowing what you're walking through. When I know that you're walking through a very difficult season, maybe you've lost a loved one, and you watch them walk through a very difficult time of sickness into death. Or maybe I know that you're walking through a very difficult time in your marriage. And I've talked with you. And I've sat down and I've prayed with you. And I've prayed for you. Then I can sing with you of God's faithfulness. And I am encouraged when I look across the sanctuary and I see you singing confidently, "He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast." I can sing the truth of God to you, proclaiming the gospel over you, even when you find it difficult to believe it. I can sing it confidently to you because it is my testimony. And I know, even though you don't see it or believe it right now, I know it is your testimony too. And so I can sing it over you. Our singing encourages and invites each other into a deeper relationship with God, especially when we don't feel it or when we don't see it. And we all walk through those times when we don't feel it and we don't see it. We sing the truth of God for each other because our singing affirms God's word to us. It affirms God's word. This is our opportunity to vocally express our faith. This is our opportunity because many of us, when we go throughout the rest of our week, we will never utter a sound about our faith. And that's a whole nother sermon. But many of us, when we are at work, we do not outwardly vocalize our faith. We do not talk about the things that we believe to our neighbors all the time. We do not even often worship God outwardly at home in front of our kids. Maybe we sing along with a Christian song in the car. Maybe we hum a tune in the shower. Maybe you are willing to even say to your coworker that you are a Christian. But beyond that, so often we are silent. And so for so many, when we get together on Sunday mornings and we sing the truth of God together, it is sometimes the only time that many of us are expressing our faith. It is sometimes the only time that that we are verbally, audibly saying, "Yes, I agree with this." Because when we come in here, oftentimes you're doing what you do right now, which is sitting quietly and listening. But when we sing, we are verbally expressing. And when you sing the truth of God, you are saying, you are raising your hand, and we are all raising our hands together, and we're saying, "Yes, I believe this. This is who I am and what I believe." And let me just say this, church. When you sing the truth of God together corporately, you are teaching your children and mine that it is worth it. When you stand up on Sunday mornings and you sing loudly, you are teaching my son that God is real and that he is worthy to be praised again today. When you stand up on Sunday mornings and you sing the truth of God together, you are teaching my daughters that God is faithful and that they can trust him. And you are affirming the truths that I have taught at home. And I am affirming when I sing the truth of God together as a congregation, I'm affirming the truths that you are teaching. And together, collectively, we are teaching and admonishing our kids. We are affirming that what we say we believe is true. So sing. Fathers, sing. Men, sing. Women, sing. Sing loud. Sing often. Sing so that your children can hear you. Do you know why we dismiss the kids after the offering? Because we want them to be in here with us when we sing. So sing loud. It doesn't matter if you have a good voice or not. Our kids aren't looking to see if we're the next American Idol. I know that's an out-of-date reference now. No, it's coming back. Anyway, they're not looking to see if you have a great voice. They're looking to see if you believe what you say. And if you're willing to sing it. And if you're willing to risk a little bit of embarrassment to proclaim that it is true. So sing, and sing loud. Sing often. Sing faithfully. We sing the truth of God for each other because it is how we remind each other who God is and what God has done. This is how we remind each other who God is and what He has done. Singing is not a new thing. It's not a modern thing. It is an old, odd, ancient practice going all the way back to the very beginning. And you know what? Singing has been the response of the people of God all throughout history. In Genesis chapter 2, Adam wakes up and God presents Eve to him and he breaks out into song. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. I don't know the tune of it, otherwise I'd sing it for you. But he breaks out into song. The people of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt, and God rescues them with a mighty and miraculous hand, with miracles and plagues, and He sets them free from their bondage, and He takes them, and He parts the Red Sea, and they walk across on dry land. And as they're standing on the other side, and they look back, and the Egyptian army is coming after them, and God closes the Red Sea on top of them and destroys the Egyptian army. What do? They break out into song. King David, Israel's mightiest king, he was a shepherd boy, and he fought lions and bears with his bare hands, and he played a harp and sang songs. His first job outside of the house was being the musician for King Saul whenever Saul was in a bad mood. And then what did he do when he became king? He went and he wrote most of the book of Psalms, which is just it's the largest book of the Bible, by the way, and it is a collection of songs. And you know what most of those psalms say at the top, a little heading? It says, for the choir master, for the congregation. They were songs to sing together. And you know who sang those songs? Jesus, when he was on earth. He sang them with his family. You know what's interesting about that? Most of those songs were about him. But yet he still sang them so that he would admonish and teach and remind the people who were with him who God is and what God has done. And the church ever since then, we read it in Colossians, to sing. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All throughout history, the styles have changed, but the singing has remained. And you know what? Men and women who love the Lord all throughout history have gone to their deaths with songs of praise on their lips. There are numerous accounts of men and women who were burned at the stake for their faith, and the last words they uttered before they died, they were songs of praise to God. They were reminding themselves, God is worth it. I know who my God is. I know what He has done. It is a tool by which we remind each other. So when we sing those words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We remember who we were, and we remember what God has done for us. When we sing the words like we did this morning, death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. For you have no rival. I can't even say those words without breaking into tears. You have no rival, God. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. We remember who God is together. And you know what? This puts God in his rightful place, which is on the throne of our hearts. And it puts us in our rightful place, which is in full submission to him. And we remember what God has done for us together in your life and in mine. And our remembering brings glory to God. Our unity in singing, it brings glory to God. Our singing and teaching the truth of God together brings glory to God. Our encouraging each other brings glory to God. And then we find ourselves, church, so very naturally at our second reason to sing. We sing the truth of God to give him honor and glory and praise. And it does, church. It does. Psalm 66 encourages us. It says, a song, here, we'll have the slide up there. A song for what? The choir director. This is one of those songs for the church to sing together. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awe-inspiring are your works. Your enemies will cringe before you because of your great strength. All the earth will worship you and sing praise to you. They will sing praise to your name. Come and see the wonders of God. His acts for humanity are awe-inspiring. He turned the sea into dry land, and they crossed the river on foot. There we rejoiced in him. He rules forever by his might. He keeps his eye on the nations. The rebellious should not exalt themselves. Praise our God, you peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Again, this is not a concept that is something we need to be convinced of. No, we see this. We understand this because we see this naturally woven in to our lives in many other ways. I just want to give you one example. My father, he served for 25 years in the U.S. Army. And so I grew up and lived most of my young life in military communities. And I have a lot of friends who are serving actively in the United States Armed Forces. And I have great respect for them and for my father. Something, though, that I have observed over my many years of observing, and it is something emotional and something reverent that happens around those who have served in the armed forces whenever the national anthem is played. Right? You know what I'm saying. And I have seen more often than not these tough, no-nonsense, battle-worn soldiers and officers be brought to tears as they boldly sing every word to that song. And they might not be great singers, but they sing because they are expressing the honor and glory to their country that they have served and loved so faithfully. We sing, church. As a people, we sing. And we will give honor and glory and praise to something. Why do we sing the truth of God together? To collectively give God the glory, honor, and praise that he is worthy of, that he rightfully deserves. Because if we allow ourselves to only sing the praises of lesser things. Now, as Christians, we have to say that everything outside of the praise of God is a lesser thing. Even if it is a good thing, it is a lesser thing, right? If we allow ourselves to only sing the praises of lesser things, and we do that 6.5 days of the week, then let us not be surprised when the rocks are crying out in our place and they drown us out and they put us to shame. I don't want that. Do you, church? So what do? We sing. We sing. When we come together to worship as a church, we sing. When the songs are played, we sing. We sing loud. We sing confidently. We sing the truth of God for the person standing next to you, sitting next to you. Don't just stand there like a statue waiting for the music to end so the preaching can start. Don't just stand there waiting for the music to end so that the service will be over so that you can rush to lunch. Don't allow yourself the excuse, "Oh, I'm just not a good singer," to keep you from doing something that brings God glory and benefits the rest of us. We need you to sing, church. You need you to sing. Your kids, my kids, need you to sing. So I'm going to pray. And the worship team is going to come up and lead us in a time of singing. And we're going to sing, and we're going to sing one of my favorite songs, and that song is "All I Have Is Christ." And the song goes, the verses of the song tell of our collective experience of how we need a Savior, and how a Savior was faithful to redeem us. And the chorus boldly proclaims, "Hallelujah. All I have is Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus is my life." Do you believe that, church? Will you affirm it this morning? Will you teach it to each other this morning as we sing? Let us pray.